Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Solasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. With a PhD in exercise physiology, I've been teaching people how to improve their health through diet, exercise, and supplementation for over 30 years. I look at the science behind all the headlines and social media and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. I was listening to a podcast last week from when I wrote this script, and the speaker, an expert in body composition as it relates to degenerative disease, mentioned in passing that a hippopotamus has less body fat than most humans. He also said that the typical supermodel could potentially be at more risk for those degenerative diseases, even more than a sumo wrestler. Now, that's something I just had to find out more about, so let's take a look. And let's begin with a little bit about body fat. Besides being in locations that most people are not happy about, just like real estate and business, it's location, location, location that counts. So what's that about? Well, fat is stored in many isolated locations, including the joints, the face, and the weight-bearing areas like the heels of the feet. That's a relatively minor contribution to your overall body fat, and it would take extreme weight loss to even impact those areas. The other store areas that store the bulk of the fat are the subcutaneous and the visceral fat. Now, subcutaneous fat is found underneath the skin and seems to be more a storage facility for fat. It is also believed to be less hazardous than the other form of fat found in the body, although that's sort of still open for debate. The other storage of fat is called the visceral fat. And visceral fat is worse because it's packed in and around our internal organs like the liver, the kidneys, and the intestines. It's also metabolically active and not in a good way. It causes the release of inflammatory hormones, which contribute to all sorts of diseases such as cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and even cancer. But is it hazardous to every person who is obese as assessed by body mass index or even the more recent DEXA scan? Even the morbidly obese? Maybe, maybe not. Here's what I found out. Beginning with the hippopotamus, it's estimated to contain no more than 5% body fat. What they do have is a lot of muscle. Now, that doesn't seem to fit what a hippo looks like, but under that thick skin, it's all muscle. This has to be data from a necropsy, an autopsy on a non-human animal, because there is no machine large enough to assess the body fat in any conventional way for a hippopotamus. Besides that, given their rather nasty and territorial disposition, are you going to try to get it in some machine to measure its body fat? I don't think so, and therefore, we're going to accept the 5%. And that brings us to assessing body fat in humans. As I've mentioned in prior Straight Talks on Health over the years, I was a self-proclaimed king of underwater weighing during my graduate studies. I measured thousands of subjects, sport teams, and consumers who wanted an accurate assessment of their body fat. What came after, like air displacement, impedance analysis, and even the DEXA scan, were no better than what a person could find out from underwater weighing. I found an area of body composition research I had missed entirely, using magnetic resonance imaging to assess body fat. The reason it rules and should be the current gold standard is that it can separate the visceral fat from the subcutaneous fat. And when you look at the images, the fat clearly shows up, especially where it's located. So it began with a research group in the United Kingdom assessing a large group of people from data collected during MRI scans taken for legitimate diagnostic reasons. They separated them by gender and degree of BMI body fatness. And one of the most revealing slides was a comparison of 9 men, all with the exact same body mass index, but varying levels of visceral fat. The difference between them ranged from 0.3 liter of visceral fat to 3.7 liters of visceral fat. absolutely astounding. You can find the reference to read from the notes on this show. Now, the problem would be cost. No insurance will pay for an MRI body scan for assessing body fat, and the only way to know the visceral versus subcutaneous fat content is to have the MRI. The neck to ankle scan would cost between $1,000 to $2,500 in the West Michigan area. Now, I love the concept, but I would have to be really motivated to purchase one. I can only see its benefit one way. For someone who has been diagnosed as being obese via body mass index who refuses to accept that diagnosis. It's a lot of money, and you could be wrong, but at least there is an option there. So let's get back to the model and the sumo wrestler. Based on the data in the aforementioned study, the data clearly show that even in men and women with a normal amount of body fat, they can have too much visceral fat. Researchers used the phrase, thin on the outside, fat on the inside. On the other side of the spectrum, they tested individuals that were obese by BMI standards, but had very low visceral fat. It was almost all subcutaneous fat. They identified them as metabolically healthy obese or fat fit. While the data have not been absolutely clear about the risk that can pose, there may be an explanation for the results. Could there be models who have the appearance of being thin, but who are medically at risk due to high visceral fat? Absolutely, even though there are no specific data on that subgroup of the population. On the other end of the spectrum, though, there are some data on sumo wrestlers that have massive bodies. Research shows that they can be classified as morbidly obese, but have low to normal body fat, the essence of fat fit. How? The top sumo wrestlers weigh an average of 355 pounds. There was a brief time years ago I watched a little wrestling when Konishiki, a Hawaiian sumo, was very popular. He had been the heaviest sumo wrestler up to that time, weighing over 600 pounds. The question is, with weighing so much, are sumo wrestlers at risk for weight-related disease? It comes down to the visceral fat issue. As I said, they fall into the fat-fit category as long as they are active sumo wrestlers. And that's the catch. The sumo train for 5 to 6 hours first thing in the morning. Think about moving your body weight, or more, for that long every day. And this isn't just lifting weights. You're trying to grab, hold on, and move 300 to 400 pounds for hours per day. The sumo wrestlers have massive core, hip, thigh, and calf muscles. No doubt that they have massive amounts of body fat, but most is subcutaneous fat. The visceral fat is much lower than the 300 to 400 pound North American obese individual and lower than those with a normal weight body mass index in some cases. So what protects the sumo is the excessive exercise they get every day. True, they often eat 5 to 10,000 calories per day to gain weight, but they don't suffer the issues with sedentary people of the same weight. The problem begins when they retire and they no longer train those 5 to 6 hours a day. Due to their massive size, the risk of increasing visceral fat and disease accelerates. Unfortunately, many succumb to those diseases and die early. The great Konishiki developed kidney failure within the past 2 years of this recording and required a kidney transplant. As of this writing, he is still alive at 62 years of age. The lesson for all of us? Until we can lose the excess body fat, we have to stay as active as we can with regular exercise, especially weight training. Preventing the age-related loss of muscle due to sarcopenia and building as much as we can through weight training, together with aerobic exercise, can help reduce the visceral fat. It is not a permanent solution, but doing as much as we can to reduce the risk is significant. Until we can master the eating less and eating better component, moving more is critical to a healthy visceral fat. Exercise rules. And that's all the time I have for this episode. If you like the podcast, hit the share button. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. choose wisely today and every day.